Good evening, everybody. Come on in the back. There's a couple of seats in front. Oh, made you look. Let's take a moment now to open in prayer as we normally do. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We thank you for his work on the cross. We also, Father, thank you for his character, his virtues. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, who is our helper, is indwelling us now so that we can be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. And Father, we thank you also for the royal family, the body of Christ. We thank you for the members of the body that you have gathered around us here at this local assembly and also around the world. And Father, we just pray that during this Christmas season, we might be those lights that Jesus talked about, that we would understand who we are in Christ and then bring that to a world that desperately needs to see him this Christmas. We ask this all in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. It's on his merits we pray by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, a couple of announcements this evening. Christmas is next week. It's next Wednesday, as a matter of fact, a week from tonight. Can't believe it. But in any event, both Christmas and New Year's are on Wednesdays this year. And so as a result, we will not be having services those Wednesdays. So after tonight, we'll have service tomorrow night on Thursday and then on Sunday. Our Christmas service will be held Sunday, and then there won't be any class Wednesday. We'll gather on Thursday again for the informal Bible study next week. Same thing will be repeated the following week for New Year's. Tonight is Wednesday, so we will be having a prayer meeting tonight in the prep school room about 8:15 after service is over. All righty, if you would, please turn your Bibles to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. Title of this evening's message is Keeping Christmas in Christ, Part 1. Keeping Christmas in Christ, Part 1. It's a twist. Hope you notice that. Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. It's a twist because what we're used to hearing this time of year, of course, is Keep Christ in Christmas. That's the slogan. That's the campaign. But what does it really mean? Does it really mean fighting to have a Santa Claus on City Hall property? Does it really mean even to have a nativity scene there? Is it really all about saying Merry Christmas instead of Happy Holidays? After all, isn't a better question, who is this Christ that we're to keep? Is he just an historical figure who was born in a manger and was visited by magi? Or is there something more? Is that all we want the world to know first and foremost about Christ? Or is there more? Keep Christ in Christmas. I think it means that to a lot of people. Kid in the principal's office. First one says, I said the SH word. Second one said, I said the F word. And the third one said, I said Christmas. Now, hey, unless you get the wrong idea, that first one, that SH word, that was Sharia. Oh, I thought you thought something else, didn't you? Same thing with the F word. It was fatwa. See, those were two Muslims in the school, and they were saying about things about their own religion, too. To the pure, all things are pure. But that's what most people think about when they think about keeping Christ in Christmas. But the fact of the matter is that you and I can be fighting out there to keep Christ in Christmas and at the same time lose sight of him in our own heart this time of year. Let me ask you a question. What do you think Jesus cares about more, feeding the hungry and caring for the sick, or requiring that all Americans say Merry Christmas instead of Happy Holidays? Anybody who knows the Bible at all knows the answer to that. It's the birthday of Jesus. Who is Jesus? Isn't that what really matters? So instead, this season of concentrating on trying to force this godless world to ape a Christmas it does not understand. Ape just means to imitate. If we're forcing the world to say Merry Christmas, but they don't understand what Christmas is all about. Instead of that, this Christmas, what I think we should be doing is be occupied with who we are ourselves. Be occupied with what the Bible tells us we are to be, which is the fullness of Christ in this world. Rather than trying to force the world to say the things we want it to say or to put things in the places we want them to put it, when they don't understand who Christ is, the focus should be on us being the fullness of Christ in this world. Because let's be real. Will saying Merry Christmas instead of Happy Holidays, will that ever change the heart of an unbeliever? No. Mostly, if we're honest with ourselves, it's about us. It gives us a warm, fuzzy feeling, and it soothes our own guilt. Hey, we're doing something about Christmas. After all, you and I, we can say Merry Christmas. We can even put up a nativity scene in the public square. But then proceed to keep a Christmas that has nothing to do with our Lord and Savior. I mean, do you really think that iPads and new cars, diamond rings and flat screens have anything to do with the reason that Jesus Christ was born 2,000 years ago? Keep Christ in Christmas. It's a rallying cry for many Christians this time of year. I understand that. Because it is true that there is an organized effort to remove Christ from the popular culture, and never more so than during the Christmas season. And yet, while I understand it as a message for the world, I think it's wrong-headed when it comes to believers. Because keeping Christ in Christmas means finding room for him in the midst of all the other things that Christmas is really about for most people. And getting upset over someone saying Happy Holidays, or getting upset about not finding a baby Jesus in a public park, I would submit is misguided. Keep Christ in Christmas. That suggests that at the center of everything is the holiday called Christmas, and that we got to find some room for Christ in all the festivity. That's backwards. As a matter of fact, if you're looking for Jesus in this secular cultural Christmas that we have, you're looking for him in the wrong place. Don't look for Christ at Macy's or Sears. Look for him at a local homeless shelter. Look for him when we gather to worship together as brothers and sisters in Christ. Here's the point. Nothing can keep Christ out of Christmas if we strive to be the body of Christ this Christmas. Let me say that again. Nothing can keep Christ out of Christmas if we strive to be who we are to be, the body of Christ at Christmas. So this year, I would ask you, instead of keeping Christ in Christmas, I would ask you to keep Christmas in Christ, meaning, who are you in Christ? Let's keep Christmas according to who we are. That's really the most important thing and the only thing that we really can do, after all, at the end of the day. I saw this on the web. I know you probably can't read it, but let me read it to you. It's kind of small print, but I like the picture. So instead of getting upset over innocent greetings and decorations at stores because we want to keep Christ in Christmas, maybe we can try to love God with all our heart, mind, and strength and love our neighbor as ourselves. You know, maybe we can try to be Christ this Christmas, kind of like that. So this Christmas, let's think about keeping Christmas in Christ. As people who are in Christ, how ought we to be keeping Christmas? It seems to me that's a better question. This year we've been studying the subject of being in Christ and all the wonders of being in Christ. Let's take that now as we approach the Christmas holiday and ask the question, knowing who we are in Christ, what does that mean about us? How ought we to be keeping Christmas this year and every year? Rather than telling the world what to do, we really need to let the Word tell us what to do. Or to put it another way, that's why I had you turn in Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. Do not judge so that you will not be judged. For in the way you judge, you will be judged. And by your standard of measure, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, and behold, the log that is in your own eye? I wonder if that's the Yule log this time of year. I'm not sure. You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you'll see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. You see, telling others to keep Christ in Christmas, well, that really takes all the pressure off us and puts it all on them, doesn't it? It leaves us feeling self-satisfied and smug. But if we turn around and say, you know what, since we know who we are in Christ, we ought to be keeping Christmas that way. You see, that becomes convicting for us. That says maybe there's things that we have to do different. Maybe there's things that we have to see differently this Christmas season. And that's really where it ought to be. It ought to be on us, the body of Christ, to step out and change and live out what this holiday is really all about more and more every year. So rather than telling the world, yelling at them to keep Christ in Christmas, Let's just talk to each other, ourselves, and let's be keeping Christmas as brothers and sisters in Christ. Let the world have its crass commercial festival. If they want that, let them have it. Let's keep Christmas the way we ought to by being in Christ. In other words, let everything you do this Christmas be about Jesus Christ. Because that's what the Bible tells us we should be like all the time. As in 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether then you eat, we do a lot of that at Christmas time, or drink, do a lot of that too, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. I think that's a great bumper sticker for Christians this Christmas. Whatever you do in this Christmas, whether you're eating or drinking or whatever it is you do, do it all to the glory of God. Make everything you do this Christmas be ultimately about Christ. Because everything we're supposed to be doing all the time is supposed to be ultimately about Christ. Please turn to Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. Colossians 3, 17. As people who are in Christ, how should we be keeping Christmas? That's the question. Look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. Again, just like 1 Corinthians 10, we see something very similar here. Colossians 3, 17. Whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. So think about how these next days are going to go. Think about what you're planning to do this Christmas, who you're planning to be with. Think about what you've learned this year. Think about all the wonders of being in Christ. And think about where we've been lately with the exhortations that we've seen the Bible has for us as believers in Christ. How do you put that together, and what does that say about how you ought to be during these next few days? How is it that you can be keeping Christmas in Christ? How is it that you can think about the people you're going to be with the next few days and really live this out, that whatever you do with them in word or deed, that you'll do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to him, to God the Father. You see, people, Christians who do that, they'll make sure that Christ is in Christmas because they'll be living examples of who Christ is as they live this way. Or look at verse 23 of Colossians 3. It says something very similar. Whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. I guarantee that a lot of us, a lot of you this Christmas season will be doing a lot of work. Make sure you do it as for the Lord rather than for men. Because we can try to keep Christ in Christmas but lose sight of him in our own heart if we're not careful. When the world comes in contact with people like this, it means that everything you do is about Christ. That changes hearts. In fact, please turn to Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. Philippians 1, 21. Everything you do this Christmas. That's a challenge, isn't it? Everything I do this Christmas? You mean like everywhere I go and what I do when nobody's looking and the things I say under my breath? Yep, all of that. Let it all be, because after all, we're in Christ, right? And if we're going to be keeping Christmas in Christ, that means everything about us is really to be checked out. By the way, everything about us will be checked out by the unbeliever and by those in our midst. If we're saying we are somebody who's in Christ, then we ought to realize that we're going to be scrutinized that way. Look at Philippians chapter 1, verse 21. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. That's a searching verse. For me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Perhaps that ought to be the verse that you use to say, you know, how do I check myself this Christmas to make sure that I'm keeping Christmas in Christ? Well, is that true of me? When I wake up on Christmas morning, is it still about Christ or is it about something else? When I'm at the party, is it still about Christ or is it about something else? Now, that's not to mean that we're supposed to be ascetics or we're not supposed to have any fun, but what it does mean is when you're at the party, can't you find a way to incorporate into what you're doing with other people something about the love of Christ, something about forgiveness, something about hope, something about joy? Of course you can. You see, in a way, we're Christianizing things, if that's the right word. In other words, we don't have to live like hermits. But what we are called to do is whatever we are doing, we find a way to bring Christ out through it. That's what we're called to do. People who live like this, There's no way to keep Christ out of Christmas for people who've actually, his life is Christ, and to die is gain. Please turn to Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. How do you keep Christmas in Christ? Philippians 2, 1. One of our favorite Christmas carols is Joy to the World. It's been around a long time. And we can sing it. And I was thinking about a lot of the Christmas carols that we sing. They're great, but sometimes we forget how to connect them to our life right now. There's a song called Grown Up Christmas List. I don't know if you ever heard that song, but it's basically saying that now that I'm grown up, this is what I really want. And it's all these things like no more wars and everyone gets along. And, you know, on that level, okay, that's one thing. But how do we bring that down to our own life and say, how about tomorrow? What is it that my life can be like that I can bring Christ into this world in some way? See, that's more challenging. World peace and no hunger and all that in the whole world, that's not challenging because there's no way we can do anything about it anyway. But saying this one person in my life that probably isn't going to have much of a Christmas or nobody cares about, thinking about that person, now that's a challenge. That's a challenge. That's how we keep Christmas in Christ. So if we really want to bring joy to this dark world, like the song says, joy to the world, how do we do it? And the answer is by living like the book of Philippians tells us to. Look at Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, if there's any encouragement in Christ, if there's any consolation of love, if there's any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. This is challenging. To say that, you know, during this Christmas season, when people are thinking about what they want for Christmas, people are thinking about where they're going to be, who they're going to be with, to really have an attitude that says, I really don't want this to be about selfishness. I really don't want this to be about me this Christmas. I want it to be thinking about others, and I want them to be more important than myself. And again, it's one thing to sort of think about this theoretically and say, oh, that would be nice. It's another thing, though, to take that verse and apply it now to your life with a real flesh and blood person who's going to be in your midst this Christmas, to say there's somebody that I really need to start thinking about as more important than me. That I haven't really done that in the past. That when we get together, I usually, if I'm being honest, I think about myself as being more important. But I'm going to do something different this Christmas. I'm going to actually live out what this verse says in Philippians chapter 2. I really am going to stop doing things from selfishness or empty conceit. I'm not going to sit there when the gifts are being opened and feel disappointed because I didn't get exactly what I wanted. Because that's about me. Instead, I'm going to think about what was the one gift I got for somebody else that I want to see how they're enjoying it. That's a practical way of living out verse 3. With humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. You know, we are in the informal Bible study on Thursday. We're looking at Romans 12. And one of the things we're about to come on is the command to show hospitality to people. And this time of year is a great time of year to think about that. The fact of the matter is that there's a difference between hospitality as we as Christians are supposed to live that out and the way the world looks at hospitality. For example, every month to my home comes this magazine about life in Coral Springs, life in Parkland. And I read it, and for the last 10 pages of this magazine are all the social pages. And if you probably know what I'm talking about. It's all about who's with who. Who wants to be seen with who. Who's the one mega superstar that came to the party that everybody wants to have their arm around and to get a picture taken of. Okay, that's how the world thinks of hospitality. Who can I invite to my party that will do something for me, make things better for me at my party? People that I can brag about having been with during Christmas, or people that are going to bring great things and really be good for me that they come to my party. That's how the world does it. Jesus one time said something really different, though. He says, if you're going to go out there and have a party, your heart should really be about inviting the poor and the blind and the sick and the lame. Because you see, those people can never repay you. And the Father says, when I see you doing that, I know you're really being hospitable because I asked you to, not because you're going to get something out of it. And so that's a really thing to think about during this season. Is there anything that I'm doing that's not just for me and furthering my own interests, worrying about the people that are important to me and so forth? Am I really doing something where I'm actually putting aside my interests and looking out for the interests of somebody that not too many people are looking out for this Christmas season? Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, on the first Christmas, you know, before he was born, he's the Son of God. He's in heaven where everything's great. And instead, what did he do? He said, I'm coming down to earth. I'm going to that place where people are lost, where people are dead in their trespasses and sins, where people are alienated from my Father in a position of rebellion against the God of this universe. I'm going to go rescue them that first Christmas. That's what he thought. See, have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped. That he had equality with God. But the point here is his attitude wasn't, hey, I'm God, I'm going to stay God. His attitude was, I'm going to do my Father's will, and I'm going to what? I am going to empty himself in the sense of taking on human nature and doing without the use of the function of deity. He took the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. See, this is the Jesus that we're supposed to keep in Christmas. Let's not forget that. Don't make it just be a slogan. Keep Christ in Christmas. Don't make it that just means that there ought to be a nativity somewhere. Or that we ought to make sure everyone says Merry Christmas. Really, if we want to keep Christ in Christmas, or be keeping Christmas in Christ, it ought to be about this person. It ought to be about the one who emptied himself, who took the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men, being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. What can we do this Christmas season to have people have an experience of this man, this person, Jesus Christ? How can we humble ourselves in a certain way so that somebody else gets a glimpse of this magnificent person, Jesus Christ? That's how we keep Christmas in Christ. By becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. For this reason also, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Do you think God the Father is concerned this year about who's saying Merry Christmas and who's saying Happy Holidays? He's already got it all sewn up so that one day everybody in this universe is going to bow before Jesus Christ and claim him as Lord to the glory of God the Father. So he's not worried about how many people say Merry Christmas this year. But what he'd like to have is sons and daughters after his own heart who understand who this Jesus is who came, who understand why he came, and to understand that this whole quality of humility is perhaps one of the most important things we can bring to this godless world. If there's one thing that this world doesn't get this time of year, it's humility. Everything is big and blasting and better than last year, and where am I going for this holiday, and what did you get? I got something better than you. It's all about the opposite of humility. So that when people who get it, who are believers in Christ, who understand what Philippians 2 is talking about, and they walk into this world during the Christmas season with humility, clothed with humility, making it about others rather than about yourself, that's keeping Christmas in Christ. Not saying Merry Christmas, but living it out. That's what we're called to do. Let's keep reading. Verse 12. So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it's God who's at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. You see, as believers in Christ, as being in Christ, we have something going on inside. Never forget that. Don't lose sight of that this Christmas. The Holy Spirit is inside you at work. He's willing and working for his good pleasure. And his good pleasure is to have you become more and more like Jesus Christ in his humanity. But there are times when what the Holy Spirit's going to do, what the Word of God is going to do, is convict you because of that. You see, we're funny human beings. Very often, we don't change without a practical crisis in our life that makes us change. And very often, it's something like the Word of God. We may have heard it for years, but we never really, really made it apply to us the way the Holy Spirit's making it apply to us tonight. And now all of a sudden, there's a challenge, there's a crisis. That's how we change. That's how we change. That's how we go from being people who are looking an awful lot like Adam in the flesh to looking more and more, little by little, day by day, week by week, year by year, a little bit more like Jesus Christ, a little bit more loving, a little bit more joyful and forgiving and peace in our hearts, a little bit more gentle, a little bit more kind. It comes by way of nights like tonight when the Word of God is piercing and is saying, this Christmas, it's got to be a little different. You've got to be challenged in a way you weren't challenged before. That's the process. That is how God is at work for His good pleasure. Verse 14, do all things without grumbling or disputing. I dedicate that to all the young people out there. I'm picking on the young people. I don't know why. I like to pick on. You know why? I like young people. That's why. People I like, I pick on. But I also know that there's a lot of grumbling and disputing that goes on among young people. I see it in my own. Well, I don't want to pick on my kids. But this says, do all things without grumbling or disputing. You see, that's a challenging statement for any of us. I do my fair share of grumbling and disputing myself. But to do all things without grumbling or disputing, again, put yourself. Now, it's one thing to be thinking about that in light of, you know, hearing the Word of God here. But put yourself where you're going to be this Christmas. Put yourself in the presence of those people you're going to be with. Put yourself in the face of some disappointments that are going to happen. They always do. There's never been the perfect Christmas. There's never been the perfect Christmas gift. There's never been the perfect Christmas. And if it started to be perfect, that all ended when you walked in. Because you're not perfect, and I'm not perfect either. So forget that. But what you do need to realize is that the Lord wants to work through you so that you stop grumbling. You stop disputing with people. You stop complaining. So that you prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent. Children of God, above reproach. In the midst, notice this. In the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you appear as lights in the world. That's what Christmas is about for us. That's how we keep Christmas in Christ. So that when we are in a situation where 99 out of 100 people would be grumbling or disputing. You know what it's like. It's right before Christmas. The post office is about to close. You've got 5 places to go. And there's too many people in line. And you're waiting there. And everybody in front of you is complaining about the clerk who just doesn't seem to care about how fast he or she does his work. Or about the person who's overloaded with packages and they forgot to put the label on a couple of them. And you have to wait while they fill out the label. And you think to yourself, well, anybody worth their salt would have had the label filled out before they got here. Who do they think they are? You see, that's the practical side of being trying to be lights in this world. It's realizing that, you know what, my flesh is just like everybody else's flesh, but there's a difference. I'm in Christ, you see. I have the Holy Spirit. I can stop doing that. I can lay aside the old man. That's what everybody expects. It's so funny. Sometimes when these things are going on, I watch people looking at me to get me to react the way they reacted. Do you ever have that happen to you? In other words, they're looking for you. They're saying, I'm miserable, and I've showed it. You're going to sit there and not be miserable? You're not going to show it either? What's wrong with you? What are they saying? Come on, hurry up and put on the old man. We're really comfortable with the old man. We don't get you when you put on the new man. We feel a little bit, you know, challenged when that happens, when we see somebody who's not grumbling, who's not disputing, when we see somebody who's being humble. We don't get that. We don't understand that. We don't like that. You know, Pray for our kids, by the way, because they're in a world where this is going to happen, where when they live according to the way that the Word of God tells them to live, and they get in the midst of young people who don't have a clue about what the Word of God has to say, they're going to be put down for that. They're going to be, in a mild way, persecuted for that. Okay, but that's what we need to pray for each other about. But this is what we're supposed to be. When we are not disputing and grumbling, when we are thinking of others instead of ourselves, we appear as lights to this world. See, we can sing the song, right? This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. And we can think about holding a little candle. And I think about in the 1980s when they had the We Are the World song. And Michael Jackson and Stevie Wonder. And everybody's happy. You see, but now that's really not what this verse is saying. See, that's one thing. But when it says, no, the way that your light's in the world is when you do things without grumbling or disputing. When you stop complaining, that's when you're a light to this world. That's when you keep Christmas in Christ. When in the midst of all these things that are just built there to aggravate us, we find resources from the Holy Spirit like self-control, like gentleness, like kindness. And these things start to pour out of us because we're in Christ. And we decided we wanted it, and he gave it to us. So that's in the midst, I love this, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. See, as usual, the Word of God puts its finger on it. When we're out there telling the world to keep Christ in Christmas, we forget we're talking to a crooked and perverse generation. That even if they did what we asked them to do, they would do it with wrong motives, and they'd only do it for the sake of gaining an advantage anyway. Why in the world would we want to waste our time with that? When instead we can actually live this way and be lights to the world and keep Christmas in Christ. But even as I am being, well, I skipped a verse, holding fast the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I will have reason to glory because I did not run in vain nor toil in vain. We hear the word of God and then we hold it fast. What does that mean? It means we have it in our souls, our hearts, and we use it. We actually allow the Lord to change us, to put off the old, be renewed in our mind, and put on the new. But even if I am being poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, hey, there's that joy again. Joy to the world. I rejoice and share my joy with you all. Why? Why was Paul able to rejoice and share his joy? Because he living for him was Christ. Because he's pouring out his whole life as a sacrifice for others. Because he understood the secret of being of the same mind of Jesus Christ, of thinking about the interests of others. That's where his joy came from. That's how, if you sing joy to the world this Christmas, and you're wondering, how can I actually have an experience of that? The answer is, think of others rather than yourself, and you will. And you will. I say this every Christmas because I think we need to be reminded of it every Christmas. But the most miserable moment you're going to have this Christmas is when you're the most focused on yourself, whatever that might be. It's something that disappointed you. That's the most miserable you're going to be. Why didn't they show up? Why didn't I get a card from so-and-so? Why did they give me this crummy gift when I gave them such a good one? It'll be about you, and you'll be miserable. But the moments of joy, if you have any this Christmas, will be, I'll write it down, when you're thinking about others, when you're thinking about getting a gift for somebody else, when you're thinking about showing some hospitality to somebody who desperately needs it. Those will be the moments when you understand this word joy. You can sing it, joy to the world, till you're blue in the face. But it won't be until you think of others that you'll actually have an experience of it in your heart. Please turn to Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Keeping Christmas in Christ. These are the people that do it. The people that can not only quote Galatians 2:20, but actually have experiences of living this way. Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Now stop right there. Think about the situations in the past or maybe this year that have put you in a place where you're out of sorts. You go to a party and there's no food that you like. There's somebody there, you can't believe they invited so-and-so. Don't they know you can't stand so-and-so? Why is she there? Why is he there? These kind of situations, right? And ask yourself a simple question. When you're about to react, who is it that's reacting? In other words, is it you? Or could it possibly be Christ? Would Christ be sitting there mumbling and groaning and complaining about the food? We have no record of him doing that. Would Christ be there saying, I can't believe she's here? We have no record of him being like that. When we have him described for us, it's what? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control. So that it's one thing to say, I've been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. But why did you give me that crummy gift? Wait a minute. Who is it that's saying that? If Christ really lives in us and lives through us, it means a whole new ballgame. It means a challenge to how we live. The life which I live now, I in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. It's so, you don't have to scratch your head and wonder, what kind of a life will I be living when I actually live in Galatians 2:20? You know what the answer is? This is not hard now. Well, Christ is going to live in you. Yes. Well, if you look at the end of this verse, it tells you how Christ lived. Oh, it does. Yes, it does. It says he loved and he gave himself up. So when you're living in Galatians 2:20, guess what's going to characterize your life? You're going to be loving other people and you're going to be giving yourself your up for them. You're going to be sacrificially living for them. Your first thought is not going to be, how can I make myself happy this Christmas? Your first thought is going to be, I wonder in the midst of all this busyness and all the things I have to do, if there's a way in which I can find a person who desperately needs the hope that can only come from Christ, and I just be creative about my relationship with the Lord and shows me how I can use little old me to bring that to somebody. Bring some love. Bring some hope. Bring some life in a situation of death. Because then it won't be about me, you see. Then it will be, I'll be like Jesus. Because what did he do? It's right there. He loved me. And he gave himself up for me. And so when I'm loving others and giving myself up for them, that's when it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Keep Christmas in Christ. The question again, as people who are in Christ, and we studied this year, how ought we be keeping Christmas? That's the question. How ought we to be keeping Christmas of those who are in Christ? Please turn to John chapter 1, verse 4. John 1, 4. So we have keep Christ in Christmas. We turned it around to keep Christmas in Christ. The nice thing about keep Christmas in Christ is that it ends what? In Christ. And boy, that's like, hey, we know something about that now. We study being in Christ this year. That's right. That's the point. The point is, now that you know what you have in Christ, to a certain extent, things that made an impression on you and recalled, or could go back and look at the material again. Now that you know those great things, now it's time to show it to somebody else who needs it this Christmas season. All those great things. It's time to turn around. If we're going to be keeping Christmas in Christ, then it means here we are in Christ. We have access to all these wonderful things. But how do we keep Christmas? You know, it's sort of like the Scrooge, you know, how he kept Christmas in a terrible way. He kept this place open. He didn't pay his people. He didn't have anything to do with it. He was a bah humbug, right? But then after he had the visits by those three, whatever they were, ghosts and stuff, and he totally got convicted. Well, we don't have ghosts. We have the Holy Ghost, and we have the Word of God. That's the convicting for us. And we change, too. We figure out we're going to be keeping Christmas in a better way. It's the same idea. How do we do that? Well, it's in Christ, right? Yep. So now that I know what I have in Christ, I know those wonderful things like eternal life and so forth, I know it's there, I know it's in Christ and I'm in union with him, I have access to those kind of things. So why don't I turn around and in turn show it to somebody else who really needs one of these things this Christmas season? And that's why I had to turn to John 1:4, because we're going to return to those things tonight. But in light with this idea of keeping Christmas in Christ, look at John 1:4 again. In him, in Christ, was what? Life. And the life was the light of men. Wondering what gift to give somebody this Christmas? How about this Christmas, bring life to someone? Someone you find who is in the darkness of a situation of death. What does that mean? What does it mean to give life to someone? Now, we're not talking about physical life, right? We're talking about spiritual matters. Well, one way you can give life to somebody, of course, is if somebody is an unbeliever, you can tell them about Jesus. And if they believe, they'll be born again and have eternal life. That's one way. Another way, though, is to realize that people are in situations of death all around us, meaning somebody loses their job, somebody loses their home, somebody is getting divorced, somebody is really, really sick. These are all situations of death. They're dying to things. In a divorce, you're dying to the marriage that you had. Okay, if you're not healthy, you know, you're dying. In a sense, you're being reminded of your mortality. There's a death situation there. Okay, people who don't have anywhere to go this Christmas. Okay, there's a sense in which my life is just crumbling around me. I don't have the fullness I had before. So there's dying and death all around us. Well, we know that in Christ is life, and we are in him, and we know we have eternal life, but we're also told that we can pursue that now, that we can take up of this life and give it to others. We can be people of life. What does that mean? It means something as simple as somebody who's discouraged, you go and spend some time with them, and you find a way to lighten their mood. I mean, that's not going to, you know, take all that much, but that's bringing life to a situation of death. All right, somebody who doesn't think that they're going to be able to afford certain things, and you're able financially to take care of them, that's bringing life in a situation of death. We're in Christ. We celebrate the fact that in him was life, and the life was the light of men, that the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So this Christmas, let's find a way to bring life into somebody's life who is in a situation of darkness or death. Please turn to Romans chapter 3, verse 23. Romans 3:23. You know, if you're still wondering, there's somebody on your Christmas list and you're still wondering, what should I get for them this Christmas? Look at Romans chapter 3, verse 23. What can I give them that would really be something different? Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus. What a Christmas gift that would be for somebody this Christmas. To let them know about what Christ did on the cross for them. To open their eyes to the fact that there is an answer to their sins. And that God provided it as a gift. That Jesus Christ, this baby, is also the one who went to the cross and died for our sins. And we all are sinners. So that when you believe in him, you're justified as a gift. Can you imagine that if there's somebody around us now who's not a believer in Christ yet, but could this Christmas become born again? And that they would receive this gift, the gift of eternal life. What a gift that would be. The gift of the redemption, understanding that they've been redeemed from their sins. What a gift that would be. By the way, there are some people who are Christians who don't yet have this gift in the sense that they're not enjoying the redemption that they have. There was a woman I talked to a couple of weeks ago who's in that camp. She's a believer. She's a wonderful lady, but she's still burdened by the guilt of her sins. She hasn't yet gotten the gift that redemption really is. And maybe all it takes is somebody like me or you spending the time with them in God's Word to demonstrate for them that in fact all their sins have been forgiven. That in fact Jesus is the one perfect sacrifice for their sins. That there's nothing else they need to do. What a gift that would be to give somebody this Christmas. Please turn to Romans 8:1. This is how we keep Christ in Christmas. By explaining to somebody this Christmas why Christ was born in Bethlehem. Again, it's funny. We spend, you know, the big battles are about keeping Christ in Christmas. Let's have a nativity scene. Okay, let's. But while we're having the nativity scene, let's also be prepared to explain why was it that this baby was born there. Isn't that more important than having a visual picture of it? It's more important to say, you know what? Let me explain to you why Christ had to be born in Bethlehem. Let me explain to you who he is and what happened 33 years later. Let me do that for you. Look at Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. If you're in Christ Jesus and you know now, based on Romans 8:1, that there's no condemnation for you, keeping Christmas in Christ this year might be just setting somebody else free from the condemnation they're living under, whatever that might be. People are still living under a lot of condemnation. Even believers in Christ are. That they're still feeling bad for the things they've done in the past. They're feeling like they're not in touch with the forgiveness that God has given them. And they need help with that. Maybe you can just spend some time with somebody and find out about that and be of comfort to them. Give them the words that they need to hear in order for them to be set free from the condemnation they've put themselves under. Or go to Romans 8:38 in the same chapter. Romans 8:38. And I'm not saying you have to quote these things necessarily, although that wouldn't be bad. But you have to be a person who can can explain these things and can be these things for people. You know, people, if you're going to tell them something like Romans 8, 1, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, but you're walking around condemned yourself, you're always talking about your failings and feeling bad, and I didn't do this and I didn't do that, I hope you understand that you're not exactly living out Romans 8, 1 as much as you claim to believe it. It's only when you set yourself free from those things that you now become somebody that people can come to and say, you know, I know you're living a life of freedom from condemnation. I don't know why you are, but you are. It's pretty obvious. Can you help me become a person like that? I mean, that is a great Christmas gift for somebody to do that for them. Or Romans 8, 38, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's another wonder of being in Christ. But this Christmas, let a hurting heart know how much God loves them. If you've enjoyed this verse for yourself, it's time now to find somebody who's hurting and let them know how much God loves them. And look at the way in which we can do it. I mean, there are a lot of people in this world that don't really believe that God loves them. They never had an experience of somebody loving them the way God does. And as a result, they don't understand the love of God. Okay, they need somebody who does and who has accepted it yourself to be able to walk them to that. To say, look, you have to understand that when the Word of God says this, it means it, that the God is real. That his love is real. And I've been through things in my life. You know, one of the things, we're not going to get to this tonight, we'll probably get to it on Sunday, is that Christmas time is time for a lot of boasting a lot of times. What I mean by that? Wow, look what I got for Christmas. Boasting in that. Or guess where I'm going for Christmas. Boasting in that. Okay? But the Bible really just tells us that, well, if we want to boast at Christmas time, there's really only one thing to boast in, and that's Jesus Christ. You know, and one of the great ways to do that is to actually take a little time and say, what are some of the great things that Jesus Christ did for me this year? If you want to put a Christmas list together, that'd be a good one. What are some of the great things that Jesus did for me this year? You know, if you've been in some of these verses we're in tonight and they've had an impact on you, if you somewhere along the year, for example, when you were in a jam, in a crisis perhaps, when you kind of was really up against it, when the pressures of this life, or maybe even the pressures of Satan were on you in such a way that you really started to question whether God loved you or not. And somehow or another, through the Word of God and through how he brought you through things, you had a fresh experience of just how much God loves you. Or a fresh experience of just what it means that there's a throne of grace up there, a throne of mercy. You know, and you've had that experience yourself, and you can point to how it actually worked in your own life. That's the thing of value you have to bring as a gift this Christmas to somebody. You know, everyone's thinking about how much money they can spend. Well, all of us have limits, some more than others, in that department. But there's no limit to the ways in which you can tell people and express to people and show people exactly how much Jesus means to you. I was in a conversation last night with my good friend, Pastor Rory Clark. And we were talking about people who are still struggling with certain concepts in the Bible. And a lot of it, as we talked through it, Rory and I realized that, you know what? You know what would solve a lot of things for people? If they just fell in love with Jesus. Because if they fell in love with Jesus, the real person, and they understood some of these passages, they would be freed up from a lot of the hang-ups and a lot of the bondages that they've been put under, they put themselves under. And they would understand this is a lot bigger, you know, than figuring out certain things what the Bible has to say. This is about a person. And a person that is in our lives, the person that we can go to. We studied how Jesus is the great high priest. We saw that he went through all these things on planet Earth so that he would understand us no matter what we were going through. And maybe when we were studying that this year, maybe one of those things really hit home for you. A situation you were in. Remember, we went to different situations of suffering that human beings find ourselves in. And then we went over to the life of Christ and we saw how he experienced it, like homelessness, he experienced it, remember that? Like the death of somebody close to him that he loved, he experienced it. Well, maybe as we were going through that, one of those things hit home for you. And you had this new experience of who Jesus is because of the one in heaven who went through that for you and is there to comfort you. Do you realize what a marvelous gift that would be to somebody this Christmas? To just walk them through that. Let them know this is possible. This is real. This Jesus of the Bible, he's alive. It's not just a baby born 2,000 years ago. It's not just a nice story. He lived, he died, he rose again. He's at the right hand of God the Father. He's coming back. And in the meantime, he's working through brothers and sisters for you to experience who he is through our kindness, through our love, through our forgiveness. That's the best gift of all we can give somebody this Christmas. Let somebody who's hurting know how much God loves them. Take the time to walk them through and walk them to that baby in the manger and who he really is. You know, when we think about Christmas, we think and we say that wise men came to the child and brought him gifts. Well, the matter of fact, this world is starving for wisdom, starving for wise men and women. Please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. This will be the last verse we go to. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. It's funny, we call them the wise men that went to the child, but as a matter of fact, the wisest was of all was the little child they came to. Look at 1 Corinthians 1, 30. But by his doing, you are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God, and righteousness, and sanctification, and redemption. And there it is. So that just as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. This Christmas, keeping Christmas in Christ can mean this. Just share some of the wisdom that you have in Christ. He is our wisdom from God. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are in him. And surely if you've been studying the Word of God this year, and if you've listened to the Word of God and have it change you, if you've heard an exhortation and you've gone out and lived that way, you've developed wisdom. Wisdom from God that was in Christ Jesus is now a part of who you are. Share it. Share it with somebody who needs to see that. Wisdom is very practical. Wisdom is saying there's another way to see this. There's another way to live your life. You don't have to do it the world's way. You may have a friend right now who's about to make a serious mistake. They're about to solve a problem the world's way. You can be the one who comes into their life and say, there's another way. You don't have to do it that way. You don't have to take your revenge. After all, the God of this universe, it was Jesus Christ, when he was on the cross, he saw people that were nailing his hands to the cross and had already beaten him, and he looked at them and he turned to his Father in heaven and said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. That's power. That's wisdom from God. Maybe you can give that gift to somebody this Christmas. Because you know what? Those gifts are a heck of a lot more valuable than anything we can spend our hard-earned money on at the end of the day. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you this evening for allowing us to understand that we're in Christ now. And that just means something about who we are to be to this lost and dying world. And we say that, but we know that that comes down to individual people. And we know that some people are going to be in our lives this Christmas. And they're going to need things that we have because we have Christ. We are asking, Father, for the Holy Spirit's enlightenment and challenge, conviction for us, so that we are the people this Christmas who can give the people who need wisdom and hope and light and life and redemption and forgiveness. That we be the people that actually give those gifts this Christmas. We ask it in Christ's name by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.